Yeah.
Some of those maturely insecure cells. So,
3 years ago now?
Yeah.
It's a very direct transport. That's my last full time CD role. Yep, no, that's cool. Yep. That was me yesterday. Yeah, and a bit more. So we just go out. So we went up the harbour under the bridge and signs are in the
Kia ora tātou, and welcome, good morning, to this resumed hearing for the consideration of the KiwiRail Notice of Requirement. This week is devoted to submitters and to the Council reporting on the application. My name is John Marson, and I'm the Chair of this panel. I thought it desirable that we just introduce ourselves to the submitters for this week. We did that at the start, but it's useful to do that again. So I'll just ask my fellow panel members to introduce themselves.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Gina Sweetman. I'm a planner with some 28 years' experience based in Wellington. I do a lot of independent commissioner work, and I'm also a government-appointed development contributions, freshwater and fast-track consenting commissioner.
Hard act to follow. Kia ora tātou. Ko media pōmari tōku ingoa. Tēnei te mihi atu ki a koutou katoa, ki a tātou katoa, kua tai mai nei ki te tautoko tēnei kaupapa. Ko media pōmari tōku ingo, he uri ahau no Ngāti Toa Rangitira me Ngāti Mutunga. Nā reira, kia ora mai huri katoa. My name's Media Pōmari. I'm an independent hearings commissioner with considerable experience. I'm not sure it would amount to 28 years. In Māori resource management particularly, and the treaty settlement claims process. Kia ora.
Good morning, I'm Judith Makinson. I'm a transportation engineer with around 25 years experience, there in those 20 somethings. My experience is largely from the private sector. I've worked internationally, UK, New Zealand, on developments of a similar scale to this, all the way down to moving somebody's driveway.
So hopefully that orientates you as to who we are. Shortly, we will open with the first submitter, which is CEDA, which is the Economic Development Agency for the Central Area. Just a couple of housekeeping matters. Kath Oliver, our administrator, sent two reports to us at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, which was very conscientious. From Dale O'Reilly, who was, I think, a submitter. One is the draft scheme of the local government reorganisation scheme for the boundary adjustments on the edges of Palmerston North circa 2011, and the Good Earth Matters supporting Stage 1 report in relation to that scheme. So that's the scheme by which Palmerston North obtained additional territory from Manawatū District in the Bunnythorpe and Longburn locations. So I thank Ms. O'Reilly for that. There's also a supplementary ecology report. And on Friday, we received from Kiwi Rail an updated set of their offered conditions for the notice of requirement that are on the website, but I think they need to be improved in terms of their accessibility. So those are available to those submitters who are particularly concerned about what we call the edge effects of the notice of requirement. In other words, those externalities such as noise, dust, and those sorts of things. So we hand over the floor to, is it Mr. Mudgway? Yes. You're set down for submissions 12 and 63. Is that going to be a combined or a separate submission? Right. Well, I hand it over to you and welcome. Thank you for attending.
Kia ora, panel members. May I just introduce our submission. My name is David Wright. I'm the Interim Chief Executive of the Central Economic Development Agency. It is a council-controlled organisation with its shareholders Palmerston North City Council and Manawatū District Council. Its role is to support economic development through marketing and promotional activities, through talent attraction and supporting it with investment. CEDA has been intimately involved in producing a central New Zealand distribution hub strategy, of which the Kiwi Rail initiatives are a central component. At this point, I would like to hand across to Ray Mudgway, who is our advisor, who will present to you on our submission. Thank you.
Welcome, Mr. Mudgway.
Thanks very much. Good everyone. Just a little bit of background. So
Is that better?
We ran a number of train services across the region. So again, a deep understanding of the movement of cargoes, shippers, and some of the challenges in the region. And I think one of the things that really struck me during that time was that Central New Zealand, in a way, felt a little bit forgotten in the national transport logistics network. So, there's some quite old legacy infrastructure. We had to actually create a bunch of things in partnership with Kiwi Rail to get these services running, like, for example, the Whanganui Railhead upgrades out in the Taranaki region at Smart Road, etc. So with that background, I was brought into CEDA. And I guess one of the things that immediately became evident through that engagement was the number of amazing initiatives actually already been backed by the region itself, but also by central government. And of course, the Kiwi Rail, Bunnythorpe, as we call it now, rail hub development being a key, I suppose, enabler for what could happen in the region. So I suppose one of the big key messages, I think, out of this is that we are hugely supportive, first and foremost, of the Kiwi Rail development. We think it will really enhance the transport and movement of goods efficiently in the region. But what we also want to really stress is that we think that it is part of the bigger picture. We think that it is a key component to actually unlocking Central New Zealand and creating, suppose, a nationally significant strategy for this region. So we all know that the Upper North Island gets a good lick of the ice cream, certainly gets a lot of the headlines, whether it's moving ports of Auckland or the Golden Triangle, the development of Tauranga, the Ruakura super hub, for example. And we think that that's all great and obviously quite logical. We also know that Canterbury is the key distribution node for the South Island. So the South Island in its own sense is quite well served. Huge development, as we all know, in that space. And again, Kiwi Roll's a huge part of that. But again, if you come back to the Lower North Island, I doubt that any of us can actually say, oh, we know exactly what's going on there. We've got this national type level strategy. So one of the key things that we really want to get through today is that we're hugely supportive, but it is part of a wider system. And we presented the strategy and left you a copy here. So it took quite some time to really understand all the moving components. We've obviously got a reasonably complex region with the number of councils involved, the number of iwi involved, and then if you actually expand out and say the Manawatū is the central distribution hub, it actually touches the Taranaki, it touches the Hawke's Bay, it has a strong connection and more so with the Wellington catchment. So it does have a catchment that's about 25% of New Zealand's population, about a quarter of the GDP of the country, and I think that that's not really well understood. Mm. We've spent a great deal of time engaging stakeholders from across the region, and that extends again out to the regions that I just talked about. So the region has done a fantastic job, in my view, of underpinning their planning, which is section two of this report. If you look at it from Horizons, look at it from Palmerston North City Council, Manawatū Council, there's a strong alignment in all the planning regimes to this sort of master plan. It just hadn't been perhaps joined up in this one coherent strategy. So we've, even since writing the first draft, we've actually spent 3 months seeking feedback. There was very good, solid feedback. It's very constructive, actually very supportive. And we've now incorporated that into what is, we consider, the final strategy document. So that's the sort of, that's the overview. I think in terms of specifically down into the Kiwi Roll Hub, one of the key things for us is what we call connectivity. So if you think about, for example, the Ruakura Hub, it's an entity owned by one entity. So they've got quite strong controls around planning, integration, and if you like, a master plan. So how do you actually take it forward and develop it over what will be decades? And I think we've got to take a similar approach here. So one of the things that's quite unique about Palmerston North is that we've got this wonderful adjacency with an international airport with 24/7 consent, which is unique, as we know. You've got a strong industrial hub next door, the Northeast Industrial Zone. You've also got the likes of Ruapehu Business Park within the airport itself. And then, of course, with a preferred site, it's a Kiwi Roll development, we now have this prospect of this wonderful rail hub built from scratch. And they're all right next to each other, which gives us quite a lot of opportunity. We've also got the proposed ring road, now approved by NZTA business case, through the business case process, which would also connect up quite nicely. But I think one of the key things, and this took us quite some time to really drill into, is adjacency is not the same as connectivity, especially in a logistics sense. And I'll give you one example to try to make this point quite nice and clear. So on the Port of Wellington, for those of you who know it, you could look across and see a cold store. This is prior to the earthquake. A cold store sitting right on the corner of Wellington Port as you looked across. Mm. So it's on the port. So you would say Wellington has a cold store on the port. We used to say that. However, the cold store sat outside the fence, which, as you know, is a secure perimeter. So to move a container from the cold store through the gate and onto the port costs $120 per container. You could move that same container from Petone to the port for the same cost, even though it's on there. So that is a very clear, simple example of the difference between adjacency and connectivity. Now, if that was connected through to the port, the cost would be zero because it would be the same move onto the ship. And the reason I make this point is if we don't actually create connectivity between these parts, we're actually missing one of the big competitive advantages of having adjacency of air, road and rail. So it's one of the key things that we want to really stress is that we are hugely supportive. We think there's enormous opportunity at a strategic level, but we must plan together. And we don't necessarily have to answer specifically how to do it right now, but what we must do is provision for it. Because you can guarantee that as this thing gathers momentum, in 20 years' time, someone will pick it up and say, why did they not connect these things together? Because now we've got all this cost and all this complexity within what should be quite a succinct, efficient and slick hub. So the other two key messages from us, one is we need to get this onto the national agenda, and the second is at a planning level we must plan for growth and connectivity. So I'm happy to take questions.
Well, I'll kick off if you don't mind. First, a housekeeping matter. Is this an electronic form that we could have?
Certainly, yep.
That could be emailed to us, thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. What date is this document? Has it just been completed or is it have some age on it?
Yeah, I finalised it on last Sunday.
so it's fresh off the press.
It's fresh off the press. But just to reiterate, we did a first draft in April. We received a lot of feedback, so we had a lot of sessions with senior leaders, etc. We did another iteration and then we left it open for another 2 months. So what we actually found is that we needed to give key stakeholders a good 3 months because it's this complexity, and you know it's summarised in this form. So there's a lot to take in. So we found that 3 months was what was required to finalise it.
Thank you. In terms of this interesting point about adjacency and connectivity as distinct concepts, Palmerston North Airport Limited has over decades considered the idea of some sort of rail connection directly through their land holdings. As you drive through Rawiri Road, you see that they are actually developing land holdings as separate items for sale or lease. But is there anything about this master plan that would preclude a siding onto Palmerston North Airport if that was later considered appropriate? In other words, I don't see from this master planning any door closed to that type of connectivity. So I assume that you make the point, because there is a point that follows from your distinction. What is the concern or the point that you're making?
Yeah, so I think you're quite right. I mean, I suppose anything is possible. However, if you dig into the detail around the airport into the Northeast Industrial Zone into Kiwi Rail, there's a raft of different owners. So some of them are private, there's some public aspects to it, and then of course there's this process. So I think if you're going to think about, let's take that example, whether that's needed or not, I'm not convinced, but let's just use that example. So you put a rail spur right from the proposed site into the airport. You need to at least through this process, if we can, provision for that. And that might be around the allocation of land for that infrastructure. So the key thing is there's some quite big crossroads. If you look just to the south of the Kiwi Rail hub, there's a big crossroad road where there's going to be a lot of traffic. It could be heavy traffic north-south and domestic and heavy traffic east-west. So I think the concept here is let's go back to road. Let's forget about rail just for the minute. Let's say we actually connected it by road, which is just as valid. You still need land for a roundabout, or you still need land for, if you look well into the future, a graded separation. And one of the things that I think would be really advantageous for the region, and actually all the players in my view, is to make sure that the land allocation has been thought about to enable that. Doesn't mean to say that we would build it now, doesn't mean to say that we have to necessarily do that in the future, but we at least provision for it. If we don't provision for it, you can be rest assured that especially the private landowners or other pieces will fill the corners and then it will never be able to be achieved. And I think that's what we're trying to do is think, let's say this is a 50 to 100 year type planning exercise, let's make sure that we're actually thinking about this for the longer term.
So it's not KiwiRail's job to make all of those connections work in terms of its notice of requirement, but what you're really urging is the council to have a big vision about the consequences of creating this in terms of its infrastructure requirements.
Yeah, look, I'd agree with that. I'm not suggesting that it's a KiwiRail issue, but KiwiRail are obviously a key part to this with their development as a private landowners and as other council. And I think if we can, through this, whether it's through a formal allocation of land or whether it's actually through the process, we make sure that these themes and these forward-looking things are up in lights, I guess, and at least acknowledged, I think that would be a very good thing for the whole development.
One final question. Following on from this adjacency and connectivity point, which is interesting, one of the factors that I assume led to this site being selected was its connection to the ring road, anticipated ring road, as distinct from other sites. And is that an example of connectivity? In other words, that the facility is immediately connected with and adjacent to a key piece of network infrastructure?
Absolutely, and I think everyone can see the opportunity with, exactly as you talk about, the ring road coming round and these three adjacent sites actually well planned and thought about over the long term. It's a very, very powerful proposition, one that actually you don't see in other parts of New Zealand, maybe the exception being the Ruakura super hub, and even then they don't have the ear piece. So there is a great opportunity here ahead of us if we can connect all those bits up in an efficient way.
Oh, sorry, there was one other question. I think you made a good point about the Lower North Island being relatively forgotten as a significant population and GDP base, and that your vision looks towards Taranaki and the Hawke's Bay, because they do have linkages and sort of communities of interest as provincial centres in the Lower North Island. Have you had feedback from your equivalents, that is the economic development agencies of those regions, about the prospective benefits of having a proximate facility of this type?
Yeah, it's a good question. So as part of the 3 month engagement around this document, the mayor has reached out to all of the leaders in those regions, and we've had good constructive feedback from them. So I think what everyone can see is that Palmerston North is the natural primary distribution hub for the Lower North Island. That's not to say that Smart Road and Taranaki is not important, that Whakatū and land development and Hastings is not important, that Ōrangi is not important, Longburn, Martin, etc. So we try and cover that off in here. We see this as a system. So the concept is not about competing or monopolising, but actually integrating across that. And there's very strong support and backing for that. I think we also, as a region, really want to learn some of the very valuable lessons out of the gorge replacement, where all of these councils came together, got on the same page and actually moved that project through very quickly. So we see some great examples of working together and collaborating. We'd like to take that forward into here. I do think there's one other really important point, and this certainly came through from our feedback from central government agencies, is that this is not a head-to-head competitive strategy with the Upper North Island or competing with the top of the South or anything like that. This is about integrating at a national transport logistics level. And we believe in this three zone, Upper North, Lower North and South Island. And so we see it's very much about integrating and working together as opposed to trying to compete. So I think that's actually a very important point as well. And the region doesn't see it as a competitive strategy in that way.
That's interesting. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Wright and Mr. Mudgeway. Have you had the opportunity to have a look at the suite of conditions that Kiwi Rail have offered?
No, I haven't personally.
No. Okay. Should we confirm with Kiwi Rail this notice of requirement, what would you like to see included in terms of conditions of consent that might address your concerns, particularly around the connectivity side of things?
Yeah, look, I'm not an expert in these processes, so I don't want to suggest what is appropriate through the process technically. I think what I would personally love to see is through the process and perhaps a report or however it comes out, is making the point around the difference between adjacency and connectivity so it's on the radar. My fear is that if we don't, then the next group to pick this up, because let's be honest, we won't all be here when this is all built, is that that gets missed. And then a tactical decision is made which precludes these future opportunities. So I think as long as we can talk and reference perhaps what is the bigger benefit and strategy and what are some of the key things that we need to do to enable that, which is connectivity, I think that that would be great. And it might be nothing more than a strong reference and a framing of the opportunity around this process.
Thank you.
Tēnā kōrua. Thank you both very much for being here today to present your submission. I think it really helps to clarify points that have been made in writing when people are here to present. So thank you for the efforts you've made in that respect. And for highlighting the key issues that you have made in your submission, but perhaps weren't quite as clearly articulated as you have been able to do today. It's been really helpful, I think, to understand where the freight hub fits within the broader national strategy from CEDA's point of view. And I note when you were talking about the strategy, you did mention a number of times, I think, relationships with iwi and potential roles and opportunities. Mm. I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit further on what's envisaged within the strategy for iwi involvement. Mm. Is it envisaged to take the form of sort of key stakeholder type relationships or potential investors perhaps? And or maybe strategic partners at a higher level?
Look, I think there's an opportunity to go much deeper than just stakeholder level. That's my view. I think that these are great initiatives because they're intergenerational.
Mm.
I think if there's one constant, I won't be here, but iwi will be.
Yeah.
So my personal view, and it is my personal view, and be my recommendation, is that the relationship should go as deep as it needs to go with iwi, and that could be investment, it could be around creation of Māori businesses on the back of the strategy. I think it's something that requires more development, in my view, and I think there's immense opportunity. I don't think we probably even understand what the opportunity is there yet.
Sure.
I think what has been important to us is early engagement. So what's always quite difficult is it's often a big criticism where you haven't engaged early, and this is not just iwi, this is in general, but actually we've engaged, as soon as we started writing the strategy, we engaged everyone. So this is genuine early engagement by the region. Iwi is on our steering committee, so we've set up a governance structure.
Okay.
There's a reference to, well, in fact, just went to it, page 75.
Oh, okay.
And you'll see that iwi is in there with our steering committee. So, look, it's a genuine commitment. I don't know how far, and because I don't really understand the objectives of local iwi, if I was to be honest with you. But I think there's immense opportunity here.
Yes.
Because it is long-term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Thanks very much for your response and for pointing me to that page, because I think, that clearly signals that there has already been some genuine engagement with iwi over future opportunities. So with the identification of ngā kaupapa o te Māori, so there's obviously a good basis there to begin to develop positive relationships in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's tactical engagement, so things like the Ring Road MTA process and the Key Rail MTA process obviously had EV engagement, and I think that's been great. What I'd personally like to see is that elevated to strategic level engagement, and I think that's different.
Yes.
I think it's not about the specific projects, it's about our vision for the region and what that means going forward. And so that would be personally what I'd like to see it develop into.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Wright, Mr. Mudgeway. I don't know if you've been following proceedings, but there's been some question around what constitutes operation of a railway, with I think one submitter in particular being concerned that inclusion of items such as the freight forwarders and the distribution centre does not constitute a railway operation. We've had some conversation around that with Key Rail, sort of traverse that with Ms. Arthur Young. But I'd be interested to understand your view of the importance of those facilities to the overall hub concept, and particularly around that connectivity adjacency piece.
Sure. So how we've tried to address this, because I think it is an interesting point. We've come up with this concept of three different levels of users. So we've said level one user would be based in the Key Rail hub, and that would be, say, a main freight, a toll, so those freight forwarders who have a need to be right on rail. And in my experience and in my personal view, that is core Key Rail business. You know, you've got to have people on rail to use rail in a big way. So that's what we call that level one user. And there's a number of them, if you think about it. You know, Fonterra could be considered that as well because of their particular type of business and scale. Then we say level two user we see as sitting in that northeast industrial zone, so immediately adjacent, and they would be examples of either shippers or could be a transport business that uses both road and rail. So they have a need for efficient connectivity with a rail head, which comes back to my earlier point. So it could be a road connection as opposed to just a siding. But they've got an efficient channel basically plugging into the Key Rail network, but they don't have to be situated right on the rail head, which is obviously incredibly strategically important and often quite expensive and needs scale. So we see that level two user very naturally sitting in that northeast industrial zone. And then the third level user we talk about, if you like, are the mum and dad businesses who may still want to use rail, but actually connectivity in the way I talk about it may not be as important. Adjacency could be fine. So a short truck move into the railhead could be fine, but they're predominantly a road user. So that's how we've thought about it. Look, I think it's subjective as to where you think Kiwi Rail should, what they can develop and what they shouldn't. But I think if you look around the country, there is a need for big scale businesses to be on railheads. And I think if we could actually get this joint planning structure and the connectivity right, then actually these three users could be really well served. It's a little bit like Ruakura. I mentioned before their advantages that they have single ownership and then they can actually really meticulously plan the staged approach. I think this is what we're trying to encourage here, but with a very complex ownership environment and lots of competing interests, is that same discipline about how you develop up your different tiers of businesses for an efficient system.
So just exploring the level two user a little bit more, because I think level one and level three, I'm comfortable with connectivity adjacency.
Yep.
With level two, to go back to your Wellington Ports example, where you have the cold store outside of the port, and therefore they are subject to charges for moving containers, don't we have the same parallel here, that the NEIZ business users are physically outside of the hub?
No, I don't think they're outside of the hub. I think they're off the railhead, which is a slightly different thing. So to be on a railhead requires substantial scale. You know, a train takes a lot of cargo, and there's not that many businesses in New Zealand that actually have the scale to do that. So even if you have connectivity, there is a cost, to your point, to move it into the railhead. But that's okay as long as it's efficient. So it could be things like the IT systems are integrated and therefore there's no delays, there's no stopping for traffic for 2 minutes to cross a road. All of these things matter in logistics and the efficient movement of goods. So a good example of a level two user is actually what you see out there now, the Foodstuffs, the Progressives, the DKSHs, the Easy Buys, where they've still got quite a large amount of road movement. So therefore, you wouldn't necessarily want to put all those trucks in